You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Today, we are speaking with Siddhal Neely, the author of The Language of Global Success and is associate professor in the Organizational Behavior Unit at the Harvard Business School. Siddhal, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're most welcome. Thanks for your time, and certainly looking forward to hearing from you in all regards. So for starters, tell us, why did you write the book, The Language of Global Success?
You know, for the last 15 years, I've looked at how do organizations move from a largely domestic firm into a global firm. And this particular book has looked at one particular company's journey in Japan, a company called Rakuten, their move to moving into an expanded global marketplace, and they had to first ensure that their workforce could operate globally. And in order to do that, they mandated English as a common language for their 7,000-plus Japanese employees, with 3,000 additional overseas employees having to operate in this one common standard way. And during that period, not only did I see the transformation of the company, the transformation of the workforce, but this explosive global reach. They went from having 200 million users, largely in Japan, to 1.1 billion users around the world within a period of 5 years.
So, Siddhal, what are the key messages in your book? Touch on some of those details, if you would.
Absolutely. The key messages in the book is that in order to globalize an organization, leaders have to, number one, take on a global strategy around how do we look to create value outside of our domestic market, and how do we prepare our workforce in order to enact that global strategy. And so, number one, any emerging organization, startup, or even an organization that's been around for a long time looking to expand marketplaces, you have to actively think about, how do I bring my workforce along? That's key message number one. And in fact, for organizations that are being designed and developed right now, I would recommend that they think about, how do you take a workforce global as one of the key things that they have to think about. The second thing is, global transformation is radical. It requires for leaders to take on courageous actions and to support their workforce to develop in ways that typically stretches people's identities. You deal with language differences. You deal with cultural differences. How do you ensure that those who don't speak the language that you need them to speak learn and are supported? How do you make sure that people develop cross-cultural management skills and you need to provide learning and training there? And one of the most important and compelling findings of this longitudinal study is that for global organizations to ensure that their corporate culture spreads across all parts and all corners of their firm, they need a language strategy. Otherwise, what people perceive to be their corporate culture, meaning their values, what they perceive to be is key and important for the company, the attitudes, the norms, and the behaviors that they want their employees to adhere to, in order for that corporate culture to spread, they need to have a language strategy if they are to be a global company. That's one of the most important messages for global or globalizing organizations, because we hear all the time corporate culture is a competitive advantage for companies, but it's no use to them if only few people in the company understand it and live it out daily.
That is so true, no doubt about that. So how does language affect the workplace?
Yes, that's a great question. Well, number one, language is the most fundamental means by which people interact with one another. If we, the two of us right now, didn't share a language, English in this case, there is no way that we can even have this conversation and that the listeners will eventually be able to hear this conversation if we didn't have this shared language. The problem arises when you're in a global environment and you have people who have various levels of fluency in a shared language. So you have people who are fluent in the English language, you have people who are less fluent in the English language, and you have people who don't speak English at all. And here we're talking about English because English is the business language of the world. So anytime a company is looking to do cross-border work, what they're doing is mandating English or migrating to the English language so that everyone can engage with one another. But going back to this issue of various levels of fluency, people who are fluent tend to dominate conversations and crowd out less fluent speakers. People who are less fluent tend to withdraw and be inhibited, and they don't contribute to a conversation, a meeting, a brainstorming activity. And so you don't get the full range of the perspectives and talents that people often seek when they look for global talent. And at the end of the day, this imbalance creates all sorts of friction in global teams. Language ends up being one of the key success factors for global teams to be able to deliver the results that they're meant to deliver. So language affects individuals' performance and also global teams' performance and, in turn, global organizations' performance.
Some super information right there today. We're joined by Sidhal Neely, the author of The Language of Global Success and is associate professor in the Organizational Behavior Unit at the Harvard Business School here on Enterprise Radio, working in conjunction with the Author Channel, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. So, Sidhal, what did your research reveal?
Well, my research revealed that the transformation process for a global company is a multi-year process that requires strong leadership, strong messaging, and persistence and perseverance for organizations. Oftentimes, people talk about companies going global, but the reality is people go global. And the revelation from this work is that the leaders not only have to set the goals, that they have to be the beacon and they have to be the cheerleaders to ensure that people go through the transformation that they need to in order to participate effectively in the global marketplace. The reality is doing work across borders is difficult. It's very difficult because you're dealing with things like time zone differences. You're dealing with geographical dispersion where people are doing the activities of work or the task or the engagement with one another and not co-located. So geographical dispersion invites and brings all sorts of challenges to global work. You're also dealing, as I mentioned, differences in languages and cultures and even local practices. And so at the end of the day, if leaders are not deliberate, intentional, and guiding their employees in order to become a cohesive, one global organization, it's not going to happen on its own organically. This is one of the most important things that this research reveals.
And appreciate your sharing those details. And how can leaders implement this information?
Well, the leaders, number one, have to equip themselves. And I think my book, in addition to giving a 5-year longitudinal in-depth study of one organization, here, you know, we interviewed over 650 people in 8 countries and over 20,000 pages of archival data and surveys taken over 3,000 multiple times has allowed us to look at the inner workings of this transformation that I've been discussing. And so the book in itself gives a lot of insights into employees' responses, employees' needs, and how do you equip them in order to perform well, and what leaders need to do. There's an entire chapter devoted to this. So, number one, leaders have to equip themselves and understand the strategic work that they need to do and answer some real questions. Do I have a language strategy? Yes or no? What kind of work do we have? Does it require people to have cross-border interactions? Are we entering all sorts of markets that require us to integrate into our core business? Do we need people to collaborate routinely? Are they interdependent? Answering some of those questions will then lead people, leaders, to say, well, I do need a language strategy. That's point number one. Then if you have a language strategy, you have to think about, well, how do we implement it? Do we do this for the entire organization or even parts of the organization? And if we do it for the entire organization or parts of the organization, how do we ensure that people are equipped in order to take on this language strategy? And what about culture? How do we think about culture? What are the instructions that we need to give our employees in order for them to be effective across cultures? So there's a lot of work to do around assessing the needs and selecting the strategies that suits the particular work, the particular industry, the particular company, stage the company's in, and doing the implementation work not only from the top of the house, but throughout the organization. And I outline all of those things in my book, The Language of Global Success.
Sadal, we certainly have appreciated your visit with us. I know it's been brief, but it certainly has been slam-packed full of some great information here for the listeners. In conclusion, is there any closing thoughts, a takeaway, or a final tip today for the listeners tuning in?
Absolutely. My last tip is that language is everywhere, and culture is everywhere. If global leaders or leaders of globalizing companies don't deliberately and intentionally plan around those ubiquitous aspects of people in organizations, they will be at a deficit as they continue to grow their organization.
Sadal, thanks for those final words. Much appreciated. Tell our listeners where they can not only get more information on your book, how they could make purchase, and also how they could be in touch.
Absolutely. My website, sadal.com, T-S-E-D-A-L.com, is a repository, not only more information on the book, how do you get the book, or even a recent TED X talk that I gave around the book that has some of these key summaries. Thanks so much for having me on your show. It's terrific to talk to you today.
And I couldn't agree more. Really been good to have had you again. Continued success to you, and thanks so much for your time and for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you.
We have been speaking with Sadal Neely, the author of The Language of Global Success, and is associate professor in the Organizational Behavior Unit at the Harvard Business School. And for more details, visit Sadal.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Take a listen to our new live location, as we are now streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live, with a new app coming soon to accompany our live stream in the coming weeks. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.